The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah! For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's show. Well, today we've got a great show lined up. We've got a friend of the program in the studio, and we're going to kind of throw some topics out at this coach and kind of see if we can stump the coach, get his opinions and insights on the game of basketball today. We're going to do this often. I'm going to try and put together a coach's panel and bring in several coaches and give you, the listeners, an opportunity to kind of hear what coaches are thinking about different subjects as we go throughout the rest of the year. Now, you know, it is 111 degrees in Phoenix today. It is hot. It is hot. And this is the time of year when everybody takes off and gets out of the Phoenix area. And, you know, I'm going to be doing my show remotely here in the next week or so. I'm going to be heading up to the Seattle area, go where it's a little bit cooler, call in, do the show, and kind of rub it in a little bit. As I get out of town, a lot of teams are leaving town, going down to Tucson to play in the summer tournament down there at U of A, Coach Miller's first year at University of Arizona. Teams this last couple weeks were playing over at Arizona State University, having some good games and competitions over there. So a lot of stuff's been going on as summer ball has hit the apex and is now starting to come down. As a matter of fact, the next couple weeks we're going to be wrapping up the summer season with the Best in Basketball Summer Invitational that's going to be held out at Skyline High School. Mark Beasley is going to put that on over at Skyline High School, beginning on July 1st at 2:30, 3 o'clock and on July 2nd, and then noon on July 3rd. So I'd go over and check out those games as there's going to be some good teams playing over there. Pool A consists of Chandler, Chavez, Corona, San Diego, California, Marantha Christian High School, Sunny Slope, and Westwood. Pool B is Boulder Creek, Highland, Kingman, McClintock, Mountain Point, Red Mountain. Pool C consists of Brophy Prep, Buena, Horizon, Marcos, Mountain View, and Westwind Prep. And Beasley always puts on good tournaments, so it should be a good tournament, some good basketball games going on, again, July 1st through the 3rd. And then you go into the weekend, get to go hang out and watch some fireworks and relax with family and friends. So, summer basketball is wrapping up. Get out and see some of the last couple games that are going on, that are taking place. Now, I'm going to welcome to the studio a friend of mine. Coaches at Higley High School. He's been on the show once before remotely, but today's the first day he's going to be in the studio. So it's kind of a little bit different when you got the headsets on and a microphone in front of your face. So we're going to welcome to the show head basketball coach at Higley High School, Sean Lively. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Coach Lovely. I appreciate it. It is a different experience actually being in the studio than it is talking on the phone or seeing it on TV or the movies or whatever. But this is a blast so far. I've enjoyed my experience.
Well, good. So now here's what we're going to do. We're going to just talk about different topics throughout the hour. We're going to cover a lot of different things. I know your team, Higley, has been playing in some of the summer tournaments that have been going on in the area and outside of the area. Let's talk, you know, I mean, I want you to give your kids some love. I know the parents want to hear their kids talked about. So let's go ahead and start by talking about what's happened at Higley this summer. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your summer plans and games up to this point?
You know, planning up to the summertime, you know, really starts right after the season's done. you know, sometime in February, if you're lucky to go that far. You know, right after the season's over, really with 2 weeks left in the season, you're starting to plan for summer ball. You're starting to plan for off season. You know, I coach track too at Higley, the shot and discus kids, and I have a great time with them. I, you know, expect, and you know, I want, you know, my basketball players to go out and try different sports. You know, not just because I coach track, I want kids to play track, run or throw or jump or whatever, but just to do something different, get away from the game for a little bit, and that gives me some time to kind of put my thoughts together. Reflect on what happened, you know, from the season prior, and then get ready for summer ball. Things you want to change, things you want to look at. You sit down with your coaching staff, maybe some of the kids that are returning, and just kind of get some opinions. Sit down with your athletic director, your principal, see how things are going, and kind of, you know, start the plan and start looking forward to the season. And then summer ball is really to just experiment a little bit. You know, we started flirting with a couple zones. Some trapping, some half court, and, you know, you got juniors coming up, you know, that were sophomores last year that played JV that are now going to play varsity. So you want to try to put them into the mix with the, you know, the guys that are coming back or the seniors and try to, you know, make some kind of a consistent flow in the play over summer. And then you want to see where you want to go. You want to see where you want to take your kids. You know, where is it going to be competitive for your team? How are you going to improve? What camps you want to go to? Do you want to go to a summer league that lasts 6-8 weeks? You know, at a local high school, or do you want to go try to get your kids some looks at a Division I school like an ASU or a U of A? That's where I took my teams this past summer was ASU and U of A, and they just have a great experience every time. You get to meet and see and talk with Coach Herb Sendek and his assistant coaches like Scott Pera, and then you go all the way down to, you know, U of A, and you meet another set of coaches, and you meet Sean Miller, and he's a great guy, and you know, his coaches and his director of basketball operations, who does Ryan Reynolds, who does a lot of the work behind the scenes. And you get to know these coaches and kind of pick their brain and see where they're at the college level, see what they think of your teams and your kids. And you try to make that connection, you know, for just for professional growth. But if you have any kids that might play at that level or you know, Division II or something like that, you know, they can definitely take a look. And I know I got a guy who could probably play D1 ball if he really works hard. It has a great senior year, Dimitri Jones. You know, he's a 6'4 power forward. He just high jumped 6'8 in the track season. You know, and he improved himself athletically. And, you know, the pieces that we have around him at Higley, I think, are going to make us way better than we were last year. You know, and then you look at, you know, taking him to ASU and U of A and playing some of the really good, talented teams out there that are 5A because we're the smallest 4A2 in the state.
Now, you guys had some very good success over at the ASU tournament, did you not? Okay, so let's talk about that. So the first day you guys tipped off against who?
We tipped off against Westwind Prep.
Okay.
They're a smaller school in the state. You know, they got a lot of talent. They got a lot of big guys. You know, I don't have a guy on my team over really 6'4", 6'5". You know, Westwind Prep has some guys that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". And, you know, we played a little 2-3 half-court zone, a little trap a little bit, started to run the ball and push. And playing against big guys like that that are really more intimidating than your kids physically. And for our kids to, you know, beat Westwind Prep that first game, take it to them, not be shy, not be afraid of someone that's physically larger than them and that is possibly more skilled than them, to take it to them and beat them by 15, 16 points, that's a huge confidence boost. So it is good to play those bigger teams.
Right,
yourself.
Get a chance to play up, right? Okay.
And then, you know, maybe play against some of the teams that are at your level, at your school size. You know, we have like 1,100, 1,200 kids at Higley. So there's not a large group to pick out of like you would at, you know, a Mountain View or a Highland or a Bachelor. They have like, you know, 25 to 3,000 kids that just would just have more kids to come out for the basketball team.
Right. So now you guys played against Westwind Prep, did a nice job. Then you went up against who?
Throughout that week, we had Westwind Prep. I'm trying to think here. We had Hopi. We played Hopi, and we were playing at Wells Fargo Arena, which is just a great experience. Anyways,
that's a great experience for the kids to play in the home of ASU's Sun Devils. So
it really is, you know. And that's where the head coaches and assistant coaches for ASU get to see you guys. You get to see your team play. You know, we played Chandler. You know, we beat Chandler there, which, you know, they're a great team. They're a 5A school, and that was a huge confidence boost for our kids to beat, you know, a team like a Chandler. We played a team like a Casa Grande. They were strong. We lost to them in the playoffs by one. You know, and whether you're
now
playing,
they got a new coach this year too.
Yeah, you know what? I just got to meet him, say hi to him one time real quick right before the game. It was at 9 o'clock game.
Yeah.
You know, one of the PE buildings. But they took it to us and shot well. We didn't shoot well. But Casa Grande's a good team. I like the way they're structured, the way they play defense. But it was, I mean, we played, you know, schools that were just as big as us. And then all the way up to 5A, and it was a good mix. You know, we ended up going 6-1 at ASU.
I was
going
to say, you guys had a pretty good record coming out of ASU. And then this last weekend, you guys took a trip down south, went down to Tucson, and played at the U of A.
Yep.
And why don't you tell us real quick about that particular tournament and how that came out. I know you guys, what, went 3-3 down there this weekend?
Yeah, we went 3-3. And, you know, playing at U of A and taking your kids down is just really a great team bonding experience, besides being able to play at the McHale Center, you know, with all the history there with Lute Olson and the teams that they've had in the past that have played on that floor and in that arena. And to go away, you know, not to take anything away from ASU, but to go away to U of A and see those pictures, you know, see a national championship picture down there. And, you know, you meet Sean Miller and his new coaching staff, and he's a super guy. He's just really interested in what, you know, your team's doing, how many good, great players are on your team, or how many great players are going to go against your team, you know, just throughout the varsity team camp there. But we went down there with great, you know, like I said, team bonding experience for
Did you guys stay in the dorms?
Yeah, we stayed in the dorms. We had literally like a 4-minute walk to the McHale Center. And the Richard Jefferson Gymnasium is awesome. You know, it's comparable to the Weather Up Center at ASU. You know, a little bit less when it comes to all the bells and whistles, because ASU, just the Weather Up Center is just awesome. U of A, just, you know, you go down there, you like I said, you have a little legacy, a little history of the Richard Jefferson. You see his, you know, all his pictures all over the place. And, you know, it's just fun to be down there. You know, it's pretty clean cut. You got the Wildcat, the Arizona, you know, the ambiance constantly, you see it.
Right.
Even though it's a smaller, you know, atmosphere.
Well, there's not much else to do down in Tucson, so you got to do something. I mean, that's one of the things that makes U of A basketball and what it is, because really there's nothing is more focused on down there than the University of Arizona.
It's
a college town.
Right, so. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we played well down there, but the kids had fun. You know, we played some really tough teams, like a Sail Point Catholic, you know, and a Thunderbird. They took it to us. But, you know, just trying to bring...
Buddy does a great job over there. He's a good coach.
Yeah, super competitive. We had a really competitive game. We had, you know, some competitive words to exchange during our game. But, you know, he does a lot of good things. I think he's a really good coach. He's probably one of the best coaches I coached against.
You know,
this summer.
You can't get in an argument with him because he's an attorney.
Oh, I know.
He'll never win.
you know what, though? There's a difference between ASU and U of A. They have total different rules to the game. And when you go down to ASU, you know, you shoot free throws. There's a different, you know, different scheme. But you go down to U of A, it's total different rules. So you got to get used to that.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break and come back. When we come back, we're going to pick another subject. We're going to kind of pick Coach Lively's brain. This is the Coach's Corner with the Coach Scott Lovely and our guest today, Coach Sean Lively. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Game, if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right. Everybody got game. And we just here to let y'all know that PE is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. Hey, yo, my man, sing it.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
We all share similar desires: to be loved, to be happy, and to feel well. Your Inner Journey is here to support you, inspire you, and expand your knowledge of you. tune in for new insights, meet our guests, get the inspiration you need to create the life you really want. Your Inner Journey with Penny Calcina is about her inner journey and your inner journey and the things that connect us all. Tune in every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for Your Inner Journey on Seventh Wave Network.
Listen for The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia twice every week. This is a live call-in talk show where Joe discusses the economic and political events that affect your investments. Joe's macro market calls have helped thousands of investors pave their way to a more secure financial future. As a bonus, everyone who calls into the program will receive a 1964 Silver Kennedy half-dollar coin that's been graded uncirculated. The American Advisor is heard every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel, and every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
News. Opinion. Can you hear me? Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right. Welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and we are joined in studio today by Coach Sean Lively of Higley High School. And we were just talking about his summer and what his team's been doing and the different tournaments that they've been in. They've been at the ASU tournament. They just got back from this past weekend from the U of A tournament. Got a chance to meet Coach Sean Miller, new head coach down at U of A, and the coaching staff down there. Now, U of A had a big shift this year, bringing Coach Miller in, and their success this past season, they kind of brought the program back up from where it was before, and, suffering a little bit of a downslide after Coach Olson stepped down and Coach Pennell took over, who's now over at Grand Canyon University. And Coach Pennell did a great job with the U of A program taking it over. I think it was like, was it even mid-season?
I think
it was mid-season. And got the team into the tournament, took them a couple rounds into the tournament, and then ended up getting the head job over at Grand Canyon University. So, comparing those two programs, so Coach Higley, or Coach from Higley High School, Coach Lively, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your philosophy is as a coach in your summer program? What are you looking to do? Because I know that when I coach and my summer program is more about getting kids to understand how to play the game. Because summer, you know, like you said, shortly after the season ends in February or March, if you're fortunate enough to move into the playoffs deeply, when the season ends, you start looking at, okay, who are my JV kids? How are they going to fit in next year? And the summer is really about giving them an opportunity to prove that they belong there and grow a little bit as basketball players. So that was my philosophy. Now, why don't you give us a little bit of insight as to your philosophy and how you use your summer program with your athletes?
Well, it's very similar. We always start with some open gyms, some practices. You know, get the kids back into flow if they did or did not play a spring sport. And one of the first things we really do focus on is, you know, having a youth camp. And one of the first things we do is, because that's months and months of work to put a youth camp together. And we had second through ninth graders invited in our school district to come to our youth camp. We ended up getting 65 kids, which is great. We teach the fundamentals of the game, and one of the first things I do is take all the seniors, and they use community service hours to work the camp, and they get to give back to the community. So I want to see which kids are really dedicated to the sport of basketball, who love the game that much, who want to give back to the little kids that are watching them play, you know, during the season, and coach them, teach them the game, and that makes them better players. When they can, you know, go out and referee a youth basketball game or go and coach a bunch of kids from fourth or fifth or sixth grade, kids that are looking up to them, like I said, and start to be a mentor. and start to realize what it is like to be a referee or a coach, or know that someone is looking up to you and having to tackle that responsibility. Because, you know, you go up through your junior or senior year, you're playing varsity basketball, whether you're on a good team or bad team, there's kids that look up to you at the lower levels. So there's a leadership responsibility there. And then you look how they interact with those kids. And you take that in consideration, what kind of person they are, what kind of morals and values they have. And then you always want to try to involve a couple juniors, you know, to work with those seniors, how they interact with those seniors and those younger kids at that youth camp. And then you have some practices. You start to put together, you know, an offensive and a defensive package, what you want your transition game to look like, whether it's offensive or defensive. You know, put in a couple slobs and blobs. For all those people who don't know what slobs and blobs are, it's baseline out of bounds and sideline out of bounds. Little coach's inside joke. You take those and you put them in, and you really do. You want a good mix. You want to have your seniors involved as much as possible, but you want those. You're looking at those JV kids, very similar to your philosophy in the summer. You know, how are those kids going to mesh and work their way up from playing JV and transitioning into varsity basketball? You know, my team right now for next year is going to be senior heavy. You know, we got 10, 11 seniors coming out for the varsity team, I know for sure. And you never know who's going to transfer in or move in from out of state or just, like, you know, someone step up.
Now, see, before you move on, because yep. I want to hit this point before you move on, because I know that, you know, you said that you've got kids coming from the JV level. And my philosophy is you get those kids into the summer leagues so that they can start to understand the speed of the game changes when you go from JV to varsity. Mm-hmm. Parents don't seem to get that. I mean, there's been some times where I've actually had some conversations with parents, and they say, well, this kid was successful last year at the JV level, and he should be just as good at the varsity level. They don't understand the difference between the varsity level and the JV level and the things that kids have to understand and adapt to. Mm-hmm. So that's why summer is so important.
Yeah, the transition, you know, from summer to the preseason, even the regular season, is huge. And you really find out which kids are dedicated and committed. Like, I got a big group of seniors, and there's a lot of sophomores that are going to be juniors next year. There were very few of those juniors that were actually committed to the summer basketball, whether they already know who's going to make the team or whatever, you know, opinions they have about that. I had four kids, you know, who really want to play varsity basketball but showed up one time in the summer. So therefore, they did not get invited to the varsity team camps. Therefore, they're a month and a half behind everybody else that was, you know, at all our summer stuff every day. And that commitment's huge. But like you said, you know, those JV kids transferring to varsity, if they don't spend any time with us in the summer and acclimate themselves and transition from JV to varsity basketball, they're probably going to be playing JV basketball again.
And see, that's what people have to get at the high school level, the transition from junior varsity to varsity. And when I say the speed of the game, now see, you've got a couple quick tips here today. Slobs and bobs, that's one. That's mm-hmm. that's a little insight into a coach's thought process. And then you've got the speed of the game. Now, when I say speed of the game, let me break it down for you. I'm not just talking about how quick a kid moves from the wing to the baseline, or from baseline to baseline, or top of the key to baseline. I'm talking about how quick they can mentally process what's happening. Because if a kid's going to the basket and I've got the ball on the wing and a kid cuts, if I don't see that happening and developing as it's happening and developing and try and make that pass after it's already happened, it's going to be a turnover, as opposed to a guy who's got that mental quickness and can see that develop and can throw that pass before it starts to happen and the kid gets it and it's a layup. So there's a big difference there between varsity and JV.
Well, there's a huge difference in maturity level as well. Not just the psychological thing, you know, and the basketball development process in your mind to just knowing the game of basketball, the maturity process. I mean, you go from JV, where you really don't have anybody over 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", you know, at the 4A2 level. Then you go to varsity, you know, and you go to these summer camps, you're playing against guys that are 6'10". So you're going from JV basketball, you know, if you're lucky if you're 6 foot, to playing varsity guys 6'10", with a wingspan of 7'6". That can block anybody's shot and that are 210, 215 pounds, that are drop step dunking. If you can't handle that, you know, physical intimidation, which a lot of kids go through that from that transitioning period from JV to varsity, if you don't get that and you don't, you know, challenge yourself and put yourself in the mix of things and, you know, try to step up to those expectations from JV to varsity. I mean, when I look at a junior coming up through the ranks or a sophomore even, you know, like, say a Kelvin Fisher, the kid's the quickest kid in Arizona. You know, he's one of the quickest kids. He's got all these big-time Division I schools looking at him for football. He's a heck of a basketball player. You go from, like, a Kelvin Fisher, who's one of the fastest guys on the varsity level, to, you know, your JV point guard who can't even come within 50 yards out of a 100-yard sprint of Kelvin Fisher. So, I mean, physically, the difference is gigantic. You know, you're talking from height, muscles, you know, weight, quickness, speed. The game is absolutely 100% totally different.
So it's important that these kids participate in the summer programs all across the board. Now, I'm going to throw something out on the table here. We've got 3 minutes before we go to break, but mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this out on the table. What about, because you're going to hear parents say this, and you probably have, mm-hmm. what about the fact that my kid comes to all the summer stuff, and you got this kid who goes and plays AAU or BCI basketball or with his all-star traveling team, and he's not around. That's not fair. How do you feel about that? Let's talk about summer basketball, club ball versus high school ball.
Well, I'm from Detroit, okay, born and raised, and AAU and club ball is huge, all right? Now you got two sides to that opinion, whether I'm from Detroit or not. As a head coach, you either absolutely 100% support AAU and club ball, or you have the other coaches that don't want anything to do with it. Now, I'm one of those coaches, to be honest with you, that doesn't want anything to do with it. Because I don't know who's coaching my kids. In my opinion, the most important season is the basketball season because I'm the basketball coach. And if you're a basketball player, I could care less how many games you win at AAU because AAU, for the most part, is a big all-star team thrown together. And this is just my opinion. And I've seen plenty of AAU games. There's not much coaching going on. It is to get recognized by colleges and universities across the nation, depending on which tournaments you go to and whatnot. But if a kid goes and does that and he's good enough and he's getting looks and it benefits him, I don't see why not, but he's still not with me. You know what I'm saying? He's still not with me. I still don't see where or how he's developing, how he did develop. Under my eyes and really my opinion, I want that kid with me all summer long if possible. You know, and if there's a JV kid or a parent that thinks that their kid's better or that's always going to happen. That's in any high school program across the country. There's always going to be parents that think their kid is better than another kid. But that discussion is not a discussion. You don't discuss that. You don't discuss another kid's future in front of another parent. You just don't do that.
Good.
But, you know, looking at that, you know, you can tell the parent, well, this kid made the decision and the choice to go do whatever he is going to do, whether it's AAU or club, and your kid is here doing the right thing. He's getting better. I'm seeing his development from beginning to finish, you know, throughout the summer. Well, it's the end of May all the way through July, or if you just go through June. A lot of teams just go through June, but you look at those things.
What we're gonna do because this AAU basketball or summer travel team basketball is a big topic. So we're gonna try and address that topic when we get back from this break. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we're gonna talk a little bit about summer basketball, high school ball versus club ball, and we've heard Coach Lively's stance, but we'll kind of dig a little deeper. All right, this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be back in a few seconds.
We just here to let y'all know that PE is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. Hey, yo, my man, sing it.
Something happening, yeah.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We all share similar desires. To be loved, to be happy, and to feel well. Your Inner Journey is here to support you, inspire you, and expand your knowledge of you. Tune in for new insights, meet our guests, get the inspiration you need to create the life you really want. Your Inner Journey with Penny Calcina is about her inner journey and your inner journey and the things that connect us all. Tune in every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for Your Inner Journey on Seventh Wave Network.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender, heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Loveland. We're sitting here with in studio with Coach Sean Lively from Higley High School. And we were just talking about summer basketball development and his philosophy on what he does with his teams during the summer and what it's for. And we just got through talking about club ball versus high school ball. And, you know, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to kind of contest. Now, your stance is the kids need to spend that time with you and develop under your tutelage during the summer. And for the most part, I agree with that. But I think that there are rare exceptions. I think that those kids who are top-tier athletes, kids who you know have a grasp of the game that are going to go to the next level. I think that, you know, my philosophy varies just slightly in the fact that I think those kids should go and play AAU basketball or club basketball, get the exposure where the college coaches are sitting. But at the same time, I still think they need to participate with their high school team. I think you need to do both. And here's why. I think that as an athlete that's an elite athlete, because I played club ball as well growing up. I mean, club was big in California. And we used to travel from California to here in Arizona. We played at ASU in the BCI tournaments when I was growing up. And, you know, those were great opportunities for me to play against some of the best basketball players in the nation. I mean, I remember playing against New York Riverside City Church, the Watts Magicians, you know, all these teams that had players that are now NBA players and have retired and everything else. Now, I think those kids, that level of kid, needs to go ahead and go play. But I think they still need to come back because those kids often are your leaders on and off the court for your high school team. Now, if that's the case, how can you lead a team if you're absent from that team during its development during the summer? And that's what I think a lot of high school coaches use the summer for, team development. So tell me what you're thinking as I say that, because you're kind of nodding, and I see you kind of have a hesitation too. So go ahead and share with me. What are you thinking?
Well, Coach Love, me and you are close friends, right?
Yep.
And 99% of everything we agree on, right? You said two key words. You said rare exception. You know, if there is that one kid that is at the caliber, the level of supremeness in high school basketball, if I can say that word, that is a rare exception because there's not a lot of guys that should be out there, if any, playing AAU basketball. Okay.
Now we know you have that Don King tendency to make words up. So right. Supremus, I got that. Okay, go ahead.
Or a little John Madden. But I'll give you my experience. I didn't have the greatest experience playing AAU basketball when I was younger. For instance, going into seventh grade, I was 5'7". I had a size 10 shoe. And I was okay at the game of basketball. My seventh grade coach, after the season was over, got all of us together, this AAU team, okay, and we went and started playing teams from all over Detroit, Saginaw, Flint. Now, if you don't know those cities, look them up. They're major cities in Michigan, and that's where all the talent comes from, and that's where, you know, the top guys from those, you know, areas go to play at Michigan State or U of M. Some go to Central Michigan, Western, Eastern. Some play at the D2 level like I did for a little bit, Saginaw Valley State, Grand Valley, Wayne State. I'm giving props to all these schools, Ferris State. You know, a lot of good competition in that state, in that area of the country. And I remember playing a team called Super Friends. I never ever heard of them. But Chris Webber played on that team. And I'm playing on my little seventh grade team. And it's supposed to be, you know, 13 and under or whatever. And we go and play the Super Friends with Chris Webber. Now, he was older than me, yes, and we were playing up. But these guys were shaving, driving to and from the game, and we don't even have our license yet. We're playing up because we wanted to be challenged. Well, losing 150 to, like, 18, that doesn't help me become a better basketball player. You know, and you're paying all this money for AAU, and you don't know who the coach is. You don't know if the money's going to him or not. And there's recruiting going on like crazy in AAU, and it drives me absolutely insane as a head varsity public school basketball coach. You know, and I know public school coaches that are also AAU coaches. And honestly, I think that's a double-edged sword. I think it's wrong because you know there's recruiting going on in the state.
And that's
of
now there you go, man. See, it just naturally led right into my next topic. I was gonna drop this one on you because you know you and I've had these conversations.
Plenty.
Let's talk about recruiting at the high school level. Well, how do you feel about recruiting?
Man, well, you know, just where I come from, and then bringing that Midwest feel and game of basketball style to Arizona, it's challenging because it happens all over the country in every state. I've seen it more in Arizona than anywhere I've ever been, and it's really disappointing. And I'm not going to call anybody out. I just find it so irritating to try to develop a program in an honest way, choosing and, you know, having cuts and tryouts from kids that just go to your school. You know, you're not, as a head coach, you shouldn't be going to AAU tournaments or going and talking to other kids that go to different schools. It's, first of all, it's not fair. It's unethical. Second, I mean, what does that show you as a coach? So now you're telling me and all the coaches you play against in your region that, oh, I can't do it by myself. I have to go get the best players. Well, yeah, you can't make, you know, French soup out of chicken gizzards. You know, I'm using a different word, but, you know, you got to have good players to win a lot of basketball games, no matter how great of a coach you are. And I've been told that by the greatest coaches in the game of basketball from the coaches I know in college and high school, okay? And, yeah, you got to have great players to win a lot of games. You got to be a good coach, too. You got to be a solid coach. But, you know, when you look at it, if you're trying to get someone else's player, Scott, if I went to Arcadia, when you were at Arcadia, and I tried to take your best player and try to talk to him about coming to Higley, would you be upset with me?
Absolutely.
You would hate my guts.
And I wouldn't have the respect for you.
And then you lose everybody's respect.
Right.
I mean, you can't have a team, you know, that loses a bunch of games, you know, and then the next year you have five new starters. You know, that just kind of like, you know, puts a spotlight on you. And bad things happen and things get said. And then, you know, other coaches know in your region, and it's not just one or two coaches. All the coaches know because you bring a whole new team to the table and they're not the same guys that they've seen on your freshman JV and varsity bench the year before. You know, things start to get questioned and you could get blackballed and all the kind of things could get happened.
It's really an interesting dynamic because, I mean, there's a very fine line that you have to walk when you're dealing with, you know, a club basketball versus high school ball. And if you're a high school coach, there's a very fine line. And you know what's interesting is that it does come down to your own personal philosophy and your own personal ethical behavior. And you know, I mean, let's talk about this because I wasn't quite sure how I was going to broach this subject, but let's talk about players that can make or break a program. You know, I mean, there are some coaches who believe if I can just get this one kid to transfer to my school, he's the key to the championship. Or, you know, I mean, I'll throw it out there, like a Larry Lewis. You know, Larry Lewis is a great high school basketball player at this point and probably will develop into a very fine Pac-10 basketball player having committed to USC. So now answer me this. Do you think, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there that's been chipping in his ear about leaving Arcadia and going somewhere else. I can guarantee it's happened. So now, is he, and are there any other players that you've seen that you think are program makers? I mean, there's been some big transfers here this last summer.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, as long as it happens the right way, the ethical way, the legal way, like there's going to be kids. There's just going to be kids that move into your district, your school district, your boundaries, and transfer to your school because their parents moved. Flat out, that's the reason. I've had kids do that. Now, some of them turn out and be great players? Yeah. Do some of them turn out and become, you know, not so well good players, or they don't make the team? Sure, that happens. But I mean, if you're going to AAU tournaments, you're going beyond the line that you should not pass. You know, for I guess recruiting, that's the word. You know, you're doing it the wrong way. And you know, if you want to win that bad, you can win. Like if I wanted to win that bad, I will go out and recruit all these players.
So let me ask you a question, because we all know it happens.
Right.
We all know it happens. So do you think there should be something in the rules that states that after a kid's sophomore season, they can become a free agent?
You know what, though? It's kind of funny that you say that, because here's the thing. You know, this is not pro basketball. You know, you look at the college ranks. A lot of people say they should pay their players. They're getting a full academic athletic scholarship to get a degree. That's another thing that we can spin off of, you know, college players getting paid. No, they shouldn't. You're getting you're going to school to play basketball to get your education. In high school, we need to stay away from that stuff. If it gets to that, I'll tell you what, I'll stop coaching. Because if it gets that political, and when money's involved, and
political. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you and I have had some very, very poignant conversations this subject, and it's already that political.
It's very political.
Parents that are upset with the coach because the kid didn't play 32 out of 32 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year they're shopping and they're looking for schools to transfer to.
Yep.
I mean, you got kids whose parents didn't feel like they averaged 24 points a game instead of the 28 points a game that they should have averaged. So they're going to leave and go to another place.
But if you're a coach that has any, you know, morals or values, and you have a parent that calls you or your athletic director and says, "Hey, my kid's going to be a junior. He's 6'8", he's 250 pounds, he's transferring from this school over here but wants to go to this school over here because I heard about you're a good coach and there's some good players here and that's where this might be a better fit for him." You know what, right there, that's illegal. You shouldn't be talking to parents that are shopping their kids. I've went through that experience about a year and a half ago. I had a dad call me. He was from the Midwest. And he wanted to know all about my program, my philosophy, how I felt about AAU. And I told him how I felt about all those things, how I run my program. And he ended up going to another school, shopping his kid to another school after the dad already was like, "Well, he's coming here because he's got family at your school. That's why we're moving down. We're starting a new business." Well, then all of a sudden, you know, he goes to another school, you know, and that other coach talked to him. And this is very political. You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because in looking at the subject, there's so many different ways we could go with it. But here we are getting ready to take another break. Man, this time goes by so fast. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. We're sitting here with Coach Sean Lively from Higley High School. And when we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody got game. But we just here to let y'all know that PE is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. And yo, my man, sing it.
Something happening, yeah.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark.
Paul, Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you Sportsmanlike Conduct. As a current player, Des Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Join G. Cobb in the house every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. This show takes you inside the world of sports from one who knows. Gary Cobb is an 11-year NFL veteran who has almost 20 years in sports radio and television. From the locker room to the clubhouse, we'll talk on the inside with the newsmakers on the sports scene. It's always exciting and full of energy. G. Cobb in the house with Gary Cobb and co-host Micah Warren is broadcast live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and we are joined today by Coach Sean Lively from Higley High School. And right before the break, we were talking about recruiting and transfer students and impact players at different programs. And, you know, I mean, there's been some transfers this year that are going to make some significant impacts next year's season. I know one of the most significant shifts is Mesa. Mesa got Jahi Carson last year and partnered him up with Danny Powell and Blondie Baruti, and they had a nice season and ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs, but, you know, ended up the season in a disappointing fashion. Well, whenever that happens, there tends to be a shakeup, and this year's shakeup was Danny Powell packed his bags and left. Danny Powell moved over to Desert Vista High School with the new head coach over there. So Desert Vista quickly took on a different look, because I believe not only did they just get Danny Powell, but they got one other player. But is Danny Powell an impact player? Is he that kid that's going to turn that program around? Now, I haven't seen Desert Vista play this summer, but that's one of those things that we'll have to wait and see during the season. You know, I mean, are there other players out there that you've seen that you think make that type of impact on a team?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you take away the best player from any competitive varsity basketball team, the number one best player who probably averages between 15 and 25 points a game. You take him off your team, your team's a different look. I mean, you got a total different team, and your philosophy and strategy is going to be completely different. You take that best player. I mean, you take a Demetri Jones off Higley. You take a Larry Lewis off Arcadia. You know, you take anybody off of anybody's team, the best player, that top guy, you know, like a Carson off Mesa. I mean, he goes somewhere else. You know, he's going to make that team better, and the team he left isn't going to be as good.
And it did shift when Jahi left Mountain Point and went to Mesa. Mountain Point's team shifted some.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and I saw Mountain Point play at ASU, and they went undefeated under Flem.
Yeah,
you know, and he's a good coach, and they got a lot of good players there. And he told me he was missing a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a lot of talent there. So it's controversial. It's political. You know, there's a lot of negative feelings surrounding, you know, players leaving or recruiting or whatever the situation is at any school with any kid, with any parent. It just leaves a lot of bad taste in everybody's mouths, and that's why I stay away from it, because I don't want to get involved in it. I don't want my name to be attached to it. I don't want my school's name to be attached to it. It's unethical. And, you know, if a parent wants to bring a kid to my school because my program is great, and they're gonna move legally into the school district, and I don't talk to them one time because my reputation precedes myself and my program, you know what? Then that's what you should be doing. You know, you kids are gonna transfer to your school because you're a good coach and they got a good program. You got good players. It shouldn't be because you went out and got them. You went out and recruited them. That's
transfers definitely happen.
I got a couple transfers in this summer, okay, from different schools. Their parents moved into the school district. I've never spoke to them before they registered, and they moved in. Now, are they going to pan out or not? That's to be seen. But, you know, going back on the recruiting thing, it just comes down to your morals and ethics and values, and if you really want to do it or not, how bad do you want to win? I want to build a program. I plan on being at Higley for a long time. You know, I want to build a great program. I want to build a strong program for as long as I can, starting from the little kids, the youth camp, a youth league, all the way up to the varsity, to my team. And if someone transfers in, they transfer in because I have a great program, not because I went out and recruited them. And you talk about the state of Arizona, self-reporting. So the coach has to call the AIA and tell on himself or herself, or the AD or the principal, tell on themselves. Now, how often do you really think that happens?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. Now, we got 4 minutes before we have to close up the show.
Yep.
But there was one other topic I wanted to throw out there, and this is going to be a controversial topic, so we probably should have thrown it out there a little bit earlier. Officiating high school level.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we could talk about talent, and we can talk about coaching. Let's talk about officiating. How does Coach Lively feel about officiating at the high school level?
You are putting me on the absolute hot spot. On the hot spot. Oh, man, I could get in a lot of trouble if I really spoke my opinion. I feel like I'm on the hot spot like Phil Jackson talking about the refereeing in the NBA and then getting, like, fined for $25,000. You know, this is like the self-reporting for nailing on officials. But, you know, if in my opinion, you know, my dad was an official in Michigan for 25 years. You know, he was a varsity official for 15 of those 25. He worked his way up. Now, was my father the greatest ref? Absolutely not. But was he good? Yeah, he was good. And I've seen a lot of referees, you know, from Michigan to Arizona. Some are very good, and some are absolutely awful. And, you know, the transition process from a freshman ref to a JV ref to a varsity ref, there isn't a huge transition. And overall...
So what you're saying is there's no distinction really between some of the bottom of varsity officials and some of the top.
You know, sometimes you can't
officials.
Tell. And you know, my assistant coach puts it best. There's several referees out there, whether they're in my region or not, that need desensitivity training to the point where if you yell at them too much or you say something to them to look for a call or something like that, they automatically go against your team for like a quarter and a half, and it could change a game. So, you know, I'm in the learning process still of learning the referees of Arizona, which ones you can talk to, which ones you can yell at, which ones you can, you know, give criticism to or not. There's some referees out there that you cannot say one word to. And there's other refs that you can scream and yell at the whole game and they love it.
Okay.
But they talk to you. So there's, you know what, there's good refs out there. There's bad refs. There's refs that are mediocre.
Well, I just wanted to put you on the hot spot for
and
a
you
second.
Did.
Yeah. So now, okay. So, Coach, this next season, why don't you give us a quick, you know, one-minute overview about Higley basketball and how you guys think you're going to do in the East Sky region this year?
You know, 2-19 last year, I mean, that was disappointing all the way around for Higley basketball. It's probably the worst season Higley's ever had, except for probably their first year that they were ever in existence. The school's going on 10 years. You know, I think Higley basketball is going to be very competitive. not just because of the coaching staff, the players, the parents, the administration, the teachers, everybody on campus, the kids that are behind it, you know, the students, everybody's behind us. It feels really good. All the coaches get together and support each other. I think we're going to have a great season. I think we're going to be competitive in the top three in our region. We got good players. I think our system's tough. I think we're going to play tough defense. I think we're going to score a lot. Not to give too much away, you know, any of my secrets or strategy or philosophy, but we're going to be competitive. I think we can make it in the playoffs, and I think, you know, the Higley community is going to be really happy and surprised of what they see, and it's going to be very positive. There's going to be a lot of support, and we're going to play tough. And, you know, my teams have always played very hard.
And that's true.
They've had a lot of talent or not, they played very hard.
I definitely can attest to that. That's how we became friends. And here we go. This is the end of another show. And I want to thank Coach Lively for coming into the studio today and being a guest. Good luck to Higley basketball. Thank you, Coach, for sharing all your opinions with us today.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Have a great week, and we'll do this again next Monday, but I'll be doing it from somewhere cool. Peace out. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out. Hey, yo, my man, sing it. Something happening, yeah. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Yeah, that's right. The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.